All right, listen, let's get serious. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are officially back for the second half of the season. It is episode seven. And we about to get live in the place. Aisle 7, the podcast, and we back. Let me stop this real quick. Full disclosure before we get started. Yes, this is episode 7, but before we continue, I must disclose that this content is not suitable for the persons under 17 years of age without adult supervision. So if you have any children under the age, please remove them, for we do not want to be disrespectful or offensive in any way, shape, or form. So we'll give you guys a few seconds to do that. Okay. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Welcome to Aisle 7. My name is Savage, and this is my beautiful wife,
Lethe.
We at the Cove right now, our home base of operations. This is Beach Talk for the Long Walk. Well, it's episode 7. You know, we're making the second half of the stride for...
Man, let's go.
12 episodes now, so... Trying to push hard, right?
Yeah, we have a little helper on this side, too. So.
Job bless. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not aware, in the Cove right now with us is our beautiful daughter. So, you know, we'll give a round of applause.
Yay!
Today's a very special episode for me and my wife because it is episode 7, significant with the whole theme of Aisle 7. And if you're not already catching on, you should probably catch up and go back to episode 1 and try to get up to speed with where we're at now. Today's episode, as far as the theme, what we want to focus on is the census. Census 2020. Yes, hashtag census 2020. Census period. We as a Pacific Islander community, we have to fill out our census by April 1st. And I believe we have until April 18th to get it done. And then it's just kind of a slope down from there. But please... ladies and gentlemen of the Pacific Islander community, please, we got to fill out this census. We have to. It's important to get these numbers recorded accurately for the things we want done for our programs and our groups of people that participate in things that need funding properly. But it's not just for that. Also to get us recorded properly for just the people who are here in each race and class. So please, census 2020, we gotta get this done. We would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. We do not take that lightly. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if you're listening to us, please search us on Anchor at Aisle 7, the podcast. It's all about self-progress, y'all. Today's episode is dedicated to the loving memory of our grandparents. Mm-hmm. On my behalf, it's Kele Kolio Ahoteka Leiliki and my grandmother, Tonga Lisipa Maile Leiliki. I love you guys and rest in peace. For my wife, it's
Olivia Nehoa Pale and Sisi Penny Balatroka Choka.
And they're with us everywhere we go. So this episode's dedicated to them and the contributions they made to just not only get us here, but for us to carry on their memory and their legacy. So love you guys.
Love you guys. Rest in peace.
Our thought of the day is remorse. Do we really mean it when we say sorry? If we apologize, is it to heal or say it openly? If we achieve trust in a relationship, it is because of affection for the other, which means remorse is the cure for mistakes made. You can't say I love you without going through pain. It is right that we can grow when saying I am sorry. Because you value someone, to anybody I have wronged or hurt, I am sorry. Our song of the day. Now, this is kind of a toss or a throwback to, to some pioneers as in our community, the Pacific Islander community. The Jets, Crush on You. This was released in 1985. And for those of you who aren't aware, the Jets, and I believe there was one person in the group or maybe two who were Samoan. The majority of the group was Tongan. By the way, of the family of the Wolf Grams, who I believe I am related to, am I?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. And then, once again, this was released in 1985, Crush on You by the Jets. And hopefully I can get this pulled up. no technical difficulties or anything like that, but yeah, it's just commercial. Yeah, so when I first heard this song, my mom was playing it. I think I was in the kitchen when they were cooking. It was some sort of event. But let's pull this. Yeah, you like that, baby?
Mm-hmm. Get it. Get Pauline. Go Pauline. Go Pauline. Go.
You like that, baby? Yeah. Bye, too. That's your, no, not great auntie and uncle. That's daddy's aunties and uncles. Okay, yeah. Now break it down. Yeah. You like it? You hear the horns? Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a long intro.
I know. Did you know that I never told that you found out I've got a crush on you?
Yeah, so that is the Jets. That is the Jets. And Crush on You, released in 1985. You know, tag us in a video of you vibing to it at @owl_7_thepodcast. And we hope you enjoy that. Our number of the day. So because it's a theme, episode 7, aisle 7, our number of the day is 7. Wherever you are when you come across it, dwell on the moment. Attacking negativity. Rumors. If you have nothing nice to say about the person or people, don't say nothing about them at all. Why does it matter to berate someone's character if it doesn't benefit us? How much energy and time does it take to destroy someone's reputation, and is it worth it? If I say this fucked up idea about him or her, will it hurt me too? Whatever the case may be, rumors are ideas meant to hurt a person due to the lack of understanding of someone, usually because of miscommunication and never speaking to the source. Let us connect through misunderstanding by addressing the actual person rather than from what they say. Our color of the day is
black. If you see it, say it.
Black.
Black.
Person of the day. Now, this is very heartwarming and touching to me and my wife, because I learned about her through my wife and the importance of this person in our community as far as the Tongan community. Queen Salote Tupou III. Queen Salote Tupou III. If you are interested in Tongan history, if you are not of Tongan descent or of the Tongan community, go ahead and search Queen Salote Tupou III and get well rounded with her in our Tongan history. She's a very important, prominent figure in our culture, and it would be really nice if you did get to know us that you did your research on Queen Salote Tupou III. Our quote of the day. Would you like to read that?
Yeah, a person who stands for nothing will fail for anything.
Will fall for anything. Yes, a person who stands for nothing will fall for anything. That comes by way of Malcolm X, and yeah, man, it still stands the test of time. Our goal of the week: post about the census every day until the next episode. Post about the census every day until the next episode is our goal. So we're going to set that and we're going to accomplish that. The influencer to highlight for this episode is @Polly_Central. @Polly_Central. Our brother in Sione Vimahi, that's his page. And he runs that. And he has a lot of great things coming out as far as content and projects. Look out for that. @Polly_Central. We want to give a congratulations to our brother @702way for a successful performance on the first Two-Way Tuesday at the Bunkhouse Saloon out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wow. My boy 702way is an aspiring artist by way of the city of Las Vegas, but originally from California. I will not categorize his music because his music is so versatile. My favorite song is Parkway off his EP Season, which you can stream on all listening platforms, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, to name a few. So tap in with my young brother on IG @702way and listen to some great vibes. Our workout tip: 1 minute cardio. A cardio session of just 1 minute, set a timer and knock it out. 1 minute. Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. 1 minute cardio. And yeah, get that done. Our video of the day: Tell Me When to Go by E40 featuring Keek the Sneak, the music video. So if you're on YouTube or anything, any other kind of streaming platform, go ahead and search that up. Tell Me When to Go. Music video, E40, featuring Keek the Sneak. It's time for our opening statements. Do you have any opening statements you'd like to make?
No. Just think positive.
Okay.
And keep it pushing.
Okay. Well, for my opening statement is wash your hands before, after meals, when you wake up in the morning, before you go to sleep, or just, you know, when you engage in anything that requires you to use your hands, to just wash before and after. Everybody's so caught up with this coronavirus scare. I think it's more important to just stay hygienic, if that makes sense. Just be clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. So wash your hands. At this point in the show, as far as our introductions and our segments, we would like to take prayer point. And what we focus on here, more importantly than anything in this whole show, is our prayer point. We want to definitely reflect and reminisce not only the past, but those who came before us. And we want to focus on where we're at and where we're going to the future. Really take our time to let this unwind, because we don't want to rush through anything. We're really enjoying this. So we're going to just ask for a few seconds of silence as we dive into our point of prayer. So, beginning now. Okay, well, I feel great about that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
Thank you.
Okay, so, I wouldn't say we're running ahead of schedule, but maybe we're just a little bit excited. So I'm gonna just take this time to talk a little bit more about the census. So just recently, we participated in a webinar with some of our fellow Polynesian or Pacific Islander podcasters, and our head of the whole webinar, Alisi, was running it and did a perfect job. And I just want to say thank you to our sister Alisi for carrying the webinar and doing such a great job to give the proper information. I'm not going to lie, 10 years ago, not only was I lacking in the information, but I was one of those ignorant people who was afraid of having those people come and knock on the door about the census because of fear of anybody being deported, you know, immigration and ICE and all that stuff. But now that I have the proper information and I know how to fill out the census forms and even do it online now, it helps. So for those of you that aren't aware about the census or how it works, it's really, how could I sum this up to make it more easy for you to jump in and participate? It is beneficial for our generations coming in the future for us to get this census done now before the next 10 years come. It's good for our kids, especially for my children, to get these numbers recorded, because if they participate in programs or anything that might have college scholarships or grants, these programs could be funded by the numbers we record now in the census properly and accurately. So please get your census done before it's due. And I believe that comes by way of April 1st. So look out for that. Check your mail every day and get more well-rounded in that. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, and just staying aware.
Be aware. Please be aware.
And the reason why I'm saying that, because it's just lacking of understanding and, yes, and information. And if you realize that some of our people don't get it or don't understand it, because even for myself, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You know, so be on the lookout. I mean, instead of staying on your phone 24/7, look up some things and try to read up on things so that way we can understand. You know, we want to be heard. You know, this is a whole different environment and a whole different country. It's not like how it is back home, you know, where it's just everything is kind of like, you know, it's not just free, you know, but stay aware.
Okay. Well, so we're going to go to our first break. You guys get some water. When we come back, we'll get started. In the meantime, here's one for the haters. Wow, and I missed that. All right, we'll see you guys in a little bit. Hey, guys, we're back, and we're going to jump into our 7 subjects of discussion. Number 1, rejection. Number 2, mentorship. Number 3, brothers and sisters. Number 4, aliens. Number 5, clout for media. Number 6, think, be, act. Number 7, Savage Island. What would you like to choose?
You can choose. You can go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and choose brothers and sisters. And why this is a subject I want to speak on is because, you know, being in a Pacific Islander family, we're big families. Sometimes we mesh and blend, but majority of the time we are families. The hard part about it, coming from my perspective, my opinion, and speaking from my experience, sometimes us being big families, we can... Please, let me talk. sometimes we, as brothers and sisters, can forget our roles to our actual brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have first cousins, second cousins we may be living with, but it's hard to kind of really differentiate the roles that we play in the families, because sometimes we have older cousins who supersede or, you know, kind of overrule what we say as older siblings. I know for me growing up, I was kind of the older brother to everybody until other older cousins came into our family, where then they took the role. And why that's an important thing for me to talk about, or for us to talk about, is because sometimes we'll put other people in front of our brothers and sisters, and, you know, vice versa. You know, sometimes our brothers and sisters will do that. And I just wanted to be said and to be known that I not only love my brothers and sisters, that if I had made the mistake of not treating them like brothers and sisters to me first, that I'm truly and deeply sorry, that I tried my best, but because we grew up in such big families, it was hard for me to really decipher where my roles applied to. Babe, would you like to speak on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as brothers and sisters, just like my husband already said, was growing up, I grew up with a whole bunch of first cousins, second cousin, third cousins, just cousins in general. And to be very honest, there is no such thing as cousins at all. And it didn't matter if we grow up or if it was like blood by blood, we were brothers and sisters. And coming out here from, you know, like I've talked about in the prior episodes of how I grew up, I only have one real sister and the rest are all cousins that I grew up with, raised with. And I didn't know how to act as a little sister, because there were so many voices and things like that,
so
to where I had to put up a front acting like a little sister to the first cousins. And then there was no respect or anything like that, because we had to hide our true feelings. And being that I was from a family, broken family, our parents weren't together, it was confusing with me as a little girl, because everybody was brother and sisters. So that's how I treat.
You didn't even know growing up.
Yeah, that's how. That's why, like I said.
What is that thing you always say about the saimini?
Yeah, if you eat noodles with me growing up, then you're my sister or you're my brother. But it's funny because when I
saimini is noodles.
When I come out here, it was a completely different thing. You know, I'm sure, like my husband said, we were all growing. We both grew up in like a big family. We're just not all siblings, but all our parents were siblings, so we would consider that as that's our siblings. But it got to a point where, like, when they wanted to pull their family away from us, there's hurt and pain and somewhat a different feeling, because then now you feel like you're really left out because of the fact that now you're not a sister anymore, or now you're not a brother anymore. But, you know, when the family want to pull back. And a lot of that has to do with the way we're raising our kids, too. It's not even about not saying, hey, that's not your sister, that's not your brother. But it's more so teaching them to understand your siblings come before anyone. And the reason why, it's because you don't want to put this in their mind where, like, they feel so left out. And
speak on it.
And now... Oh, I thought we're brothers and sisters, yeah. You know,
but overlook that sometimes.
Yeah, but for me and him, because we grew up in trying to fit in every family, we had it in our mindset growing up, we don't want our kids growing up like that. You know what I'm saying?
Especially when we have a chance to correct that.
Yeah, now that we're
not saying that our parents did that on purpose.
Yeah,
but it affected us.
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with our parents, because they had their parents. I don't think the experience, what we're experiencing.
You spent some knowledge right now.
And no, it's him, you know. Anyways, but now as far as us as a couple and us as parents, we see the things that affected us in a bad way and affected us in a good way, and we pick and choose of what to teach our kids, you know. So brothers and sisters, I'm not gonna say this. This is, now we're just speaking on our experience. I'm not saying that don't claim people and don't do. Honestly, it's very important to know your circle, to know who you consider a sister and a brother because of things like that, you know, is having to like, oh, I thought I'm a part of the family. Because I'm still dealing with that. Nowadays, I still deal with that. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting to understand, like, you know, I feel like I'm the only child now that my older sister isn't out here. But at times, like, you know, close family members where I'm not included in things, it still rubbed me in a way to where I feel some type of way. Not so much to where I take it personal, but it reminded me of how I try to fit in ways that I wasn't even a sister or a brother in the beginning, you know?
Yeah, I think definitely for me, speaking from my perspective, but I mean, I relate to what you said too, because that is true. Those feelings, if you harbor it sometimes, we do get butthurt when we get, you know, reality check that, oh my God, that's right, I'm not your brother or sister.
Yep.
When they have to participate, oh, sorry, it was just family, immediate family.
It hurts.
It's like, oh shit, that's right, I'm not your immediate family. Yep. Not that that's a purpose thing done on purpose, but eventually we grow into that mindset where it's like, oh, we do have to part ways now.
Yeah.
I know for me, and this is nothing or any wall against any of my cousins. None of them.
No.
First, second, third, you know. It's just that, because my heart is big and I love that way, that if you were there with me when we went to war, or if we fought, if we, you know, ate noodles together, that kind of you know, comparison, then you know what it is. It's real. But man, when that hits you, that, oh man, I actually do have my own brothers and sisters, it hurts sometimes when you realize how you might have treated them or overlooked their emotions because you were so hopped up about being everybody else's sister or brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rather than playing your role to your brothers and sisters first immediately. So
yeah. And it becomes like a problem where, oh, are you treating them better than me as treating your sister or a brother? You know, it becomes like that because then now you're put in a situation that you gotta choose and figure out what you gotta be. Are you gonna be a sister or a brother? Or are you gonna really claim them as cousins? But then when the day comes to where you get separated from it, then all of a sudden it's like you have to play different roles, you know?
Yeah, it's tiring. I mean, you get really tired from it. Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that. I'm good off that. Okay.
Me too.
Okay, great. So we have rejection, mentorship, aliens, clout for media, think, be, act, or Savage Island. Which one would you like to choose since I chose already?
Number two.
Mentorship. Good. So mentorship, why I highlighted this, really speaks on a person's leadership or, you know, who you looked up to as a role model or really who you tried to be like when you were growing up. Do you have anybody like that as far as in your life that you looked up to that you really needed mentorship from because you looked up to them that way in that respect?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've always said it was my grandma and all of that. But what's so crazy is that my auntie Nia, the one in Tonga, I look up to her for the reason that she was a God-fearing woman. And the reason why I say that, and shout out to her, you know, she was a big part of who raised me, you know. She is my mother's oldest sister, and I live with her half of my life. There's other auntie and uncles that was a part of it too, but her I remember the most, all because she molded me to the woman I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Because my faith now is and my walk is just where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay? Is that coronavirus?
No, but the reason why I look up to her it was like, I mean, of course she wasn't perfect, but it was the way she prioritized everything.
You were picking up things that were beneficial.
And now looking back, I mean, my grandma was a part of it, but then she started forgetting stuff, when I was young. And so when I look up to Nia, she literally was what you call a superwoman. She was doing everything that she can, taking care of me, not her biological daughter, but she also has 6 kids on her own. Actually, no, 7 kids on her own. Me and my sister were just another load to what she was already dealing with. And I give her all the credit because, you know, I am today who I am, and I look up to her because the way as a wife, the way she is as a mother, and the way she lead her family, you know? Yeah. I've always looked up to her, and I love her for that. So I thank you for that, okay. Auntie Nia. So.
For me, mentorship speaks volumes. It's such an important thing for me when I was in my early years of development, from teenage to pre-adult. I looked up to a lot of people, everybody from philosophers to athletes to real civil rights leaders, people such as, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Bruce Lee, Ray Lewis, even now my mentor who's very deeply rooted in my life, Pastor Lucky Siaki of Win the City, Las Vegas, who I will definitely shout out and give props to, because he speaks so much life into me, even when he's not talking to me, not in that way, but like when he's busy, because he's a busy man, he's got work to do. But these people, these and they, even women too, even, like my mom, definitely my mom is one of my greatest mentors. She's the first and foremost mentor, especially with I put God as my priority, but as far as people, I try to mold myself as far as my game and my philosophy and the way I treat others. Mm-hmm. I look up to these people to guide me and be a better person every day. Mentorship's really important because I try to be a mentor to those. Not that I want to be their mentor, but if they look to me as in that respect, I definitely hold it very seriously. I don't play around with that. I try to be a very good mentor and be effective and beneficial to those, especially to the youth.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. Our pastors, definitely. Pastor Lucky and his wife, Caroline Siaki, they're our pastors for the church that we attend, Win the City. They've helped us in ways of our understanding, the way, you think about, not just in church, but just the things that you deal with in our daily lives.
They're our spiritual mentors,
yeah,
especially, for real.
They've got me and my husband to a whole different mindset, like the way we think, the way we do things, the way we react to certain situations, the way just everything spiritually, spiritually, there are our mentor in that. It's very important that you have that, because those people, man, you don't get a lot of those people nowadays. So I am grateful for you guys.
Very rare.
For that. We don't take that lightly, because they've brought us from our hardest time, our good times, and things like that. So yeah.
Okay, cool. We can definitely speak more on the matter. In the meantime, we're gonna take our second break. You guys go get some water, get you a snack, or drive slowly if you're listening to this in the car, and we'll get right back to it. So go ahead and take that break. We'll see you in a little bit. Welcome back, guys. So when we left off, we were on the discussion of mentorship. And babe, you want to go ahead and carry back on what we were talking about?
Yeah. We don't take our spiritual parents lightly, because they've opened our mind to things that we've never understood before. And I'm just so grateful and blessed that I know it's part of God's plan. So, and I'm glad that I've met them and things like that. So mentorship is very important, because it kind of give you a different perspective of what you've already know, what you've already experienced, and what you've learned growing up. So, yeah, that's it for me.
I think you said it very well. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to definitely mention again that mentorship is very important in a young man and a young woman's development, especially in the teenage years, that when they grab or when they gravitate to somebody that they look up to, it's important that that person is very positive, speaking life, mm-hmm. and beneficial to the kid themselves. So
yeah.
Mentorship is very important in human development, just in general, to make us better human beings, loving, caring, but more importantly, just great leaders.
Yep.
So that was mentorship, and what we have left on the list is rejection, aliens, clout for media, think, be, act, and Savage Island. I'm gonna go ahead and cover aliens. Number four, aliens, and this is actually really easy. It's not even gonna take that long. Do you believe in them? Do you believe in aliens?
Do you know me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The other lady next to you.
No, of course not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still doing my research on it. You know, obviously, there's the common stereotypes. Stop. There's the common stereotypes where, you know, there's lights in the sky, the night sky, and crop circles and people being abducted, but I'm not one of these people who just believe and hear everything that they see or, you know, get involved with. It's just, I brought that up as far as, not like a conspiracy, but I think it's just interesting to think that we're the only ones here alone in the universe, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So
I just really can't give in.
As far as a higher intelligence. But that's all I really had to say about that. Not too much into aliens, but you know, I'm open to the thought. I'm open-minded to the thought. So we have rejection, clout for media, think, be, act, and Savage Island. What would you like to pick?
Think, the act.
Think, the act. So this is very, very actually vital, almost critical in every Pacific Islander person's life. Is we have to. It's honestly smarter to think before we act. Majority of us actually act before we think. And why that's critical and vital to Pacific Islander lives is because sometimes we will just act out of our emotion and make things actually worse or escalate to a further extent. And I know for me, personally, speaking from experience, I'm one who acts before I think. I'm a very smart person, very intelligent. That's not just me bragging, but I am a very emotional person. I'm a very emotional being. So when things are said or done or happen on the spot, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to act out of emotion rather than think out of logicality. And, you know, a lot of how this affects the Pacific Islander community, I believe, is because sometimes we'll be in family functions. And this is majority of when it happens. And let's just say people are drinking. There's got to be a designated driver or a sober person to be able to handle these things where it's like, man, I know she was looking at my husband, or man, I know that dude stole from me. And when we're drunk, it just comes out right on the spot and boom, there's an altercation, there's a confrontation, and it can split families. And I really think it's important for us to think before we act, as far as if I know I'm gonna drink and I'm gonna act up, do I drink is the question. So what do you think about that?
I'm the very opposite. I never act.
The reason why I
don't want to say like, oh, I'm better than anybody.
But this is something that really happens in our community.
Yeah. I can't really speak for people, but yes, meeting my husband, I can really tell you like
experience.
From experience is that you can never tell somebody to think before they act. They have to convince themselves to know that and locate that. Because you can't tell somebody to change, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not that.
No. I'm meaning like you yourself have to know that. Because if you don't admit to it, you'll never try to change that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the reason why I'm saying I always think about before I act is because I think at the time when I didn't really know or have experience in, I used to care about what people think. I used to care about what people would read me. I used to care about what would be my my image if I act a certain way. You know what I mean? And yeah, reputation. And that was part of the reason why I always think about before I act, because I was more worried about, it wasn't because I just had it. It was more so that I worried about what people think. But now that I'm a lot older, I do understand that we have to think before you act, because there's consequences when you do certain things. There's things that you might hurt, or people that you involve yourself with that you can hurt. Like, and for instance, like I'll say like things about like people that you don't even know, and things happen and you react to it, but you don't get hurt, but the people around you get hurt. Yes, you know what I mean? And the reason why I say that, because even after I knew that, where I was able to really like grow and you know, know a little bit about myself, there's times where I get so hyped up where I still think, but then things happen and then it doesn't go the way we thought it was gonna go, you know? Yeah. So I think that's another thing. It's so important to think before you act, because when you get a clear mind, the consequences that come with it, it's not going to be as bad as what you think it can be. You know what I mean?
No, I definitely agree with that. I mean, for me, I'm going to be honest here. I'm liable to punch a person if the situation is negative or going negative, just based off of what I'm getting off of you, or the vibe you're feeding. You're feeding into the situation. And that's not because I'm ignorant, but that's because, like, of habit. I just have violent tendencies to things I don't like, and that can make me look very brash and ignorant, and I do understand that. And this is why I highlight thinking before you act, because to my younger demographic, I want to the youth, boys and girls, that if you have an opportunity to remove yourself from a situation before you become abrupt and explosive, remove yourself, because the only person you're gonna hurt is yourself more. If it hurts others, it hurts others, but you can heal those relationships. Really, it's gonna hurt your reputation, because nobody's gonna want to be around you. Example I want to use is, my sisters never want to tell me anything because they know how I'm gonna act. And when I mean they don't tell me anything, is because if they've done something wrong and I find out about it, the first thing I'm gonna do is like flip out. I'm just gonna flip like monkey shit up, and it can make me look like I'll never understand my sisters, because that's why they don't talk to me. They don't want to tell me anything, because, man, Junior, all you ever do is like act angry and yell at us, but you never take the time to really talk to us and see why we did that. And I'm like at an age now where it's like I can't do that no more. I'm too old to be doing that, if that makes any sense. And you don't want to get to a point where it's like, man, you're old and you're alone because nobody wants to function with you. They don't want to interact with you because they just know how you're going to be. And it's important to think before you act, because if you can de-escalate a situation, and this doesn't have to just be with confrontation, it can have anything to do with, if you look at that girl, knowing that it's going to make your spouse or your husband, if you look at that man, upset, don't do it. Think of a way that, what can I do to avoid this situation? Just look the other way, or don't talk to the person, engage with the person. Or even another thing is, like, if you were told not to spend money, and like, it doesn't just pertain to confrontations. I'm just saying it in general, to think before you act. You know, if you don't spend that, don't steal that, really take the time to examine and analyze the situation in the moment, because you're not looking at the long-term effect. It's really important that you think before you act, man. It really is. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm good with it, man.
Okay, cool. So we have left is rejection, clout for media, and Savage Island. You chose the last one, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and go for clout for media. Mm-hmm. We don't have to spend too long on this one, but this really has everything to do with people who have a platform on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it is that your preference is, you have a responsibility, a power, a gift to speak to your following, your listeners, your viewers, whoever it may be, and put a good message out there to change people's lives. And clout for media to me is like, there's this wave of people who do stupid things on social media for attention.
Yep.
To get views up, to get famous, to get money, whatever the case might be. When you could actually use your ability and your platform to promote positivity and growth within the community, but you choose not to. And I'm not going to put any names out there, but examples are people who do these Tide Pod challenges, stupid challenges where people will jump up in the air and they'll kick a person, knock them off their balance, and possibly hurt them. Other challenges where it's like people running into the streets to do stupid antics. I mean, the list goes on, but I guess more negative content gets played than positive content because people want to see negative things. And I'm not trying to generalize that too much, but it's a sad thing when you can use your platform to promote development and growth and self-progress, but rather you would just do stupid negative things to, you know, get attention. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I never see it that way, but, and this is not to like a personal thing where I take it personal or things like that. It really does irritate me or annoy me.
Yeah.
Because I see people who are just giving out the wrong idea and things like that and putting up like on different platforms about, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm just saying like, what do you think when you look back at these platforms and think about 10 years later? And I know people are still growing. We're all different and different with our growth. But at the same time, you step to speak to somebody's life, or there's people out there who are really going through anxiety and things like that. And when you do videos like that, it's like, it really doesn't help. You know, I see the whole Polynesian community are doing big things and trying to push the movement and doing all these different things on social media. Why not turning those things to positive? You know what I mean? Positive messages or use those followers that's following you to where you grab somebody's attention. And the reason why that's so important, because we just had, remember the person that hit us up about what she was dealing with?
Yeah.
I can't really...
we can't go too much into detail, but because we had a platform...
Yeah.
And it
spoke to her. And the thing is,
Shout out to you, sis. You know who you are. Love you.
Me and my husband spent about 2 hours on the phone with this person. We have no idea who this person is. She has no idea who we are. We didn't even follow each other on social media. But because of our content and people share of our stuff, which I'm very grateful and appreciative for that you guys support us, because she was able to touch up and see what we were saying. And that's what I'm trying to relate to people. Just try to push out positive message, you know?
Well, I definitely feel that. So thank you, babe. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll continue on with Clout for Media. But you guys, take your next break, drive safely, put the kids to sleep, and, you know, get you a little snack. And when you come back, we'll continue the conversation. See you in a little bit. Okay, so picking up where we left off last was a Clout for Media. Babe, did you want to carry on with that?
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, you know, use your platform. I know there's people there who young, you know, a lot younger and older. Use your platform to really speak nothing but positivity, because we don't really know what people are really dealing with in their daily lives. And to really use that to just, even if it take like one person to reach out and see what you're doing, you'll be surprised. Like I said earlier about that, the lady that reached out to us, it was such a good like conversation that we had, because it was just the things that she was dealing with. And the age of this person was just like, it shocked me and my husband to know that, you know, there's people out there still dealing with things like that, that our message was it spoke loud to her, that she was able to, comfortable to share it with us, and we don't even know each other at all, you know? And what I mean by that, you know, sometimes you can make the community look bad with just what you're doing or your content. Like, you have to be smart of what you put out because of who we are, you know, as a whole. And then on top of that, where you come from, who you represent, your parents and things like that, because it goes down to that. It's not just about you. Use your platform and your talent to really speak to people out there and young kids and youth, because you just never know. So,
no, I definitely agree. I think if just be cognizant of the fact that your influence, especially if you have a strong influence because of your character, personality, or what you push as far as in your content, that it can really affect someone's life, negative or positive. Let's try to be more positive with it rather than doing things that can harm people. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Thank you for speaking about that. It'd be okay. Go to sleep. So we have Rejection and Savage Island left, and I chose Clout for Media. What would you like to choose?
Rejection or Savage Island.
Okay, well, we'll speak on Rejection then.
Yeah.
So why I spoke on Rejection. Now, this is really personal to me, and I think it'll touch somewhat with you. You know, rejection has many faces and forms as far as being rejected by someone you like. You might want to approach them and ask them out and then find out you're not what they're looking for and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Or you try to go visit your mom or your dad's side of the family for the first time and you kind of meet some resistance. Or even trying to make friends and then you find out you're not anything in common with those people, so you just become a loner. How I dealt with rejection was like, I automatically turned the situation to my favor. And I definitely want you to speak on this, is like, how did you deal with rejection, negative or positive, when it came your way? Like, when you tried to make friends or you tried to impress people or meeting family, it could be anything. But as far as like facing rejection, how did you deal with it?
For me, in general, I can speak of trying to impress people.
Yeah.
Trying to fit in. But, and I don't think people really reject me in a way that they know they were doing it, but just feeling the vibe of knowing that you're not wanted there.
Oof.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And to be honest, I had to put up this front growing up that I was this tough person and things like that. And you know, even to now, like, I mean, not now, but I'm meaning like when I moved out here, having, you're this person and you're trying so hard to live that, but you're being told that you're not that.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
You
don't fit in.
You don't fit in, or you're a HOE, like a hoe. Oof. But you're really not.
You're talking about as far as like what you deal with.
Yeah, what I was dealing with growing up is that you were this and this and that, but you have no proof of it. You just talking on me and make me out to be this person. And when I didn't know and find out, like, I didn't know that's how you feel about me. I've been feeling like that from growing up, being rejected in that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not, I don't know if it was just the hate going on or whatever it was, but just a feeling like you're not wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And just the way I was taking it was, I just had to keep acting like I was this person. Mm-hmm. And trying to front in front of people.
Yeah.
But really, that's not really who I was.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally feel it. Rejection for me hits hard because it hit me physically, mentally, and spiritually. When I first went to go meet my dad's side, because if I haven't mentioned before, I didn't grow up on my father's side, and I didn't get to go and meet them and know them until I was like 22 or 23. When I reached out to this side, and I'm 31 now, and so the years in between of 23 to 31, I've just been connecting. But when I went to reach out to them, it wasn't so easy. There was a lot of resistance. There was a lot of negativity. But there was positivity, too. But when my mother's side had found out, there was a lot of rejection I dealt with. They kind of disowned me. they didn't really approve of the idea, you know. But I mean, somewhere down the line, they came around to it. But it just in the beginning years, it wasn't easy for me, and I was kind of a loner. I was alone for those years in between because I didn't have anybody to talk to besides my wife. And rejection killed me, man. Like, this side didn't want to deal with me, and that side barely knew nothing about me and could care less. And somewhere in between, I just kind of learned how to deal with it. What I meant by I turned it to my favor was, well, that's okay. If everybody's going to reject me, well, I guess I'll reject you guys. And, you know, it kind of worked, and then it didn't work. But I kind of went on about my life. I accepted the fact that they didn't want to deal with me and that they didn't want to deal with me. And when I accepted that, I started to make a way for myself in life to where it was like they gradually came back into my life on both sides and reached out to me and wanted to be a part of my life. And things are really good in my life now. I talk to my mom, I talk to my dad. And both sides know that I talk to each parent, and it's getting better. I'm not going to make it sound like it's good now, but it's getting better for me. And so that's what I speak on rejection. What about you?
Just how I was growing up, you know, you just got me to think about being rejected in a sport. And the reason why I just thought about that
groups was cliques.
Yeah.
Is it rugby?
Even now, man. Yes. The reason why I say that.
Shout out to the Las Vegas Slots.
The reason why I say that, man.
Woo! Lily, J. Rucina, who's
Llama.
It? Lama.
My poly squads.
Yeah.
Man, but I Shout mean, even the whole slots, y'all. You know.
No shade, though. No shade. No, we love you guys.
To be honest, I had to prove a point of where my athleticism.
Man, I remember that was a lot of rejection,
and it was a lot of rejection. And I have to be honest, there's a part of me was I didn't take discipline. My husband can tell you too. I didn't work out and look the part. So you know, I have to be very honest. Polynesian are very like, I can't say hard people to deal with, but like. I had to prove my point that I could play. But I already had it in me. It was just...
It was just the girls that were already established. Already,
yeah.
There
was already a set of girls. Yeah, a set of girls that was already playing prior to me.
Not Pacific and, Islander. This is...
Yeah, you know. And I had to prove my point, you know.
The old girls, times, the veterans.
There's times where I didn't play. You know, my attitude, I'm not going to lie. Like, it turned and they made me out to be this monster... Where, like, every time I get rejected, I would act up. And when I get in, then I prove my point. But still, it wasn't good enough. And the thing is, just being rejected in that area was... It really took a toll on me because it affected the way my mental was. It affected the way emotional for me because I would bring that home. And the stress that I put on my husband because I would just attack anything that come my way, you know? And I think now that I'm a lot older and I'm a lot smarter, nothing fazes me, you know, as far as rejection. And if they reject you, like my husband said, he had to deal with his mom and his dad, but he had to move on with his life.
How'd you deal with it?
As far as my parents?
No, as far as with the rugby.
Oh, wait, that's what I'm saying. You had to move on with your life. That's what I had to learn to do, is I had to let go of rugby. I had to let go of it because I knew how good I was. Everybody knew how good I was.
Did that help and I'm not you trying improve to be... your game in any
way? It did because it changed. To be better, you got to change your mental. You got to change your health. You got to change your emotion. You got to change physically. If all of that all add align, oh, man, it works out for the better for you.
Oh, I agree.
And the reason why I say that is because when I had moved on, the last year, you knew the last year I played. How great all my games were, because my whole mental—it wasn't even about my athleticism anymore, because that's already spoke loud. But if your attitude stink, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you are. You get kicked off of a team and get rejected because you don't act with their attitude. You gotta have a better attitude so it match up with the way you play, and that's what I had to deal with. I had to deal with that I got to change my whole mental and everything and leave that behind. Because that was my season at that time. Now that I'm not playing at this very... I know that there's a different plan, that I'm going a different path, because now I'm doing the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's... Yeah.
No, I think that's absolutely great. I think, especially for us, because me, I didn't take too well to rejection, it made me a stronger person when I had to overcome it and deal with it by moving on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes rejection's okay. Like when you come across rejection in your life, whether that person didn't want to go out with you, or you know, you didn't get that job you were looking for, or you didn't get accepted to the college you were applying to, or hell, even if you know your credit was bad, or anything like that, it's not the end.
Yeah,
it's not the end all be all. You move on, because there's other opportunities. If you believe in God or whatever you follow or pray or whatever your source of belief that it comes from, you got to understand that these these worldly things, this materialism, this materialistic things that are in front of us, they don't last long, man. Nope. So for us to worry about, oh, I can't believe they didn't want anything to do with me. And
it hurts, but...
It hurts for a time, but hey, just like time, it moves on.
Yeah.
You know, the minutes count, the seconds count, the hours move on. You gotta set your sights on something that is more progressive, and you move forward with it. And you just keep finding these lanes where it's like, hey, I'm good at that, or good at this, or I'm connected to that person, or... You just find better things that are positive for you, and then that's how you overcome rejection. So,
yeah, you said it best too. Rejection can be good too.
Yeah, it can.
It can be good. It strengthens you. It's the way you come back. Yeah. You know, sometimes rejection could be, maybe it wasn't at that time for you.
It wasn't for that season. Maybe later on it'll come back.
It was looking out for you. What if it wasn't your time? You could have been hurt at that moment, or something could have gone wrong for you, but something was watching you. You know what I mean? So that's part of rejection, and that I like, is that I come back stronger than what I was when I first started. You know, and I'm done. Yeah,
that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'll work through rejection, man. So all that's left is Savage Island, but I don't have enough time to cover that. Maybe we'll cover it in another episode. I'm satisfied with where we're at in this episode. Episode 7, we're just excited for the rest of the season to come on. We definitely want to move on to our mentions. Hey, we still looking for sponsors.
Yeah.
So if you want to sponsor Aisle 7, the podcast, Savage and Lethe, hit us up and let us know. Shout outs to our boy at Josh the Prophet of the Kings on Earth.
Yes.
Dropping fire music and their clothing line, Kings on Earth Apparel. Check them out. Our final feast. Do you have any final thoughts?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just with what we're touching up with everything that we've already covered, man, just stay positive and keep moving. Don't let anybody tell you any different. So,
okay. Yeah, and wash your hands. Also, by the way, before this episode closes, hey, Pure Aloha's coming up in April. And, you know, those of you that don't know, if you're in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's a Hawaiian festival. And we got our sweaters done for the show, as you can see. And then we got our, you know, our slogan in the front. And we got Job Less on the
side.
The sleeve, so... We're excited for that, man. And if you want some sweaters, hit us up about that and we'll give you the information.
Yep.
But, you know, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Episode 7 is in the books.
Stay
we got the
tuned.
Rest of the season to finish. And above all else,
Jobless.
Yeet!